3,000 years ago in Iron Age Britain, well before the Romans showed up, the first white flowers of an elusive spring pushed up out of the warming earth to signal the subtle shift of a new season. The people knew the sleeping earth was slowly opening up to the light. These first emerging shoots revealed what had been hidden in gestation, this awakening to new life. A season begun in snow and ice in the depths of winter darkness would culminate in spring torrents, the warmth of sun, and an explosion of life. From the Bronze to the Iron Age, the Celts were shifting from hunter-gatherer-fisher societies to more agricultural concerns. And this is basically where the enduring annual calendar that divides the year into quarters came from, marked by the four great fire festivals of Beltane, Lunasa, Samhain, and
Imhotep.
In this quietest time of year, the people took the lustrous water that was beginning to flow to free itself from winter's frost and used it in purification rites. They lit fires to honor this quickening under the earth. But this was far more than just a wood fire. It was the fire of creation and rebirth, of the primordial goddess called Brigante, the Exalted One, the most loved and revered deity who was worshipped throughout the British Isles and Northern Europe. If we want to understand what the multi-millennial fuss was all about, it's too easy to get caught up in the dense thicket of information and misinformation about Imhotep and Brigit. What I like to do in these situations is hunt down the primary sources. So, as best we can, let's go right back to the beginning. Long before the thousands of years put one overlay after another onto this ancient deity, resulting in a mind-boggling collection of names, Brigantia, Brigit, Brig, Bride, Breda, Braint, Breed, Bridget, Brigia. Long before the early medieval church had no choice but to keep her in some guise and translated her to sainthood, Saint Bridget, and gave her the feast day of February the 1st, which obviously corresponds with the ancient fire festival. And also in an Irish hagiography, her stepfather is described as a druid, which I kind of like. Long before the highlands and islands of Scotland put St. Bride on a footing with St. Michael the Archangel and made her the foster mother of Christ himself, before the nuns of Kildare tended St. Bridget's flame for 600 years, and after a Reformation-induced hiatus, reformed in an organization that carries on today worldwide. And absurdly long before the flowering of our neo-paganism, with its thirst for meaningful connections of the ancient to the modern. When all this is set aside and we peer into the mists of time, what do we find? There was the forge that ushered in the Bronze Age, with its explosion of art and creativity. There was the light of inspiration born from the darkness, and there were the fires of Brigia. Now, whether those of us who live in Maine are in the least concerned with ancient Celtic deities or not, we do share a common interest in the seasons, which dictate so many aspects of our lives. What we experience as the years tick by at the start of February is something we all share with countless ancestors and peoples, mostly north of the 45th parallel. by any other name, or none at all, what many pagans call Imalk, or in Scotland, Laeil Brija, we find a marking of the quiet heart of the year, in which the very essence of the fires of creation and inspiration lie just below the surface, still in the belly, in the quickening of life. Or here in Maine, under the still frozen earth. Of all the Celtic fire festivals, cross-quarter days, this one is most noticeably out of alignment with the British climate. Our lambs generally arrive later. Our first spring flowers wouldn't dare show up yet. Our maple sap is probably still slumbering, as are our hibernating animals. The emergence of the snake is a big theme in Brija's Scotland. In her myths, the symbol of Earth's energies awakening, but not here. We have to hang on for another few weeks. But we do have the strengthening sun that holds the promise of spring. We watch the celestial influence on the quiet earth almost with surprise. We notice the drive home is not so dark. Our gaze is pulled to that beautiful silver February sky, and we watch it changing, becoming more infused with the new light. And we feel some lifting of the spirit. When I got into my car this morning, hoping to goodness it would start, the chickadees were singing their fee-foo song, and it made me so happy. Still in all, this pivotal time of year can easily get lost in its own silence. Or for us living in these strange times, overly busy. But no more than a young lamb can benefit by being born too prematurely, can we hasten this contemplative time? Can we gloss over it and yet hope to achieve its virtues? Here in this quietest time of year, when all else that distracts us can be stripped away, we have an unparalleled opportunity to lay bare the essence. But the essence of what? What is the shining thread, that power, that runs unbroken from that Bronze Age forge to today? We Anglesey Druids believe that we are all manifestations of a mystical power, but one which is inaccessible to our knowledge and intellect. This is surely not an unusual concept. It is easily found in everything, from Zen meditation to sacred dance. To return to our innate embodiment of the mystical, we have to find a workaround. And any mystically based spirituality worth its salt, basically, this is what it's all about, right? As keepers of the ancient memory of Ynys Mon, Anglesey, one of the ways is found through the realms of mythology. The lesson drilled into us is that we are the characters in the Welsh mythology, which are themselves tied to place and season. These are not stories to be merely read, but reflections of experiences we are living. And each predicament in the myths illuminates the journey of a human life toward a deeper understanding of our true nature. So if we look at Imalk through a druidic lens, what if that instead of the more contemporary custom of this being a time to plant the seeds of our aspirations and dreams, which is a lovely thing to do, it's just that it's active and external, and I'm looking for the inactive and the internal where those fires of creation manifest. What if we surrender to become the seed, to become the soon-to-be-born child in the story, the child who is someone or something else's gestating creature, who is about to undergo a radical new birth? The infant of the infinite, as Caitlin Matthews says. It's a small shift in perception, but it uncovers a much deeper understanding. This child does not see its mother, but knows her presence. Soon, the amniotic water, like the water released from the warming earth, will be the precursor to birth, upon which will spark the fire of the world's light in which the birth will take place. What might happen if we were to become aware of a quickening in our lives, one that reflects nature's story being played out all around us? What revelations might this open our eyes to? But there's just one thing. A lived mythology is never safe because it transforms us forever. And this process never stops so long as we honor and observe it. Upon which something profound happens. We become transparent to the transcendent. I was in two minds about sharing what I'm about to tell you, but for all its harrowing, miraculous detail, it is a perfect window into the power of Imalk. A year ago at this time, the January darkness I found myself in was extreme. My dear mother had just died on Christmas morning, Alzheimer's, and her death followed a cascade of six deaths, including that of my father and others very near to me, most in the space of that 1 year. As many of you here know, it's difficult enough to tend to the sacred spark within in today's frenetic world, and sometimes we are stopped in our tracks and held in stillness, like it or not. My grief was so complete, there was no room for anything else in it. Until in the stillness approaching Imalk, something happened. At first, it was the surprise of finding an unexpected intrusion into that black grief of love. And you know where it came from, my parents. Over the days and weeks, this benevolence expanded into light. Sometimes I could actually see it, not with my physical eyes, but like that. It evolved and changed into something I recognized, except that I could perceive it way more clearly now. The Druids call this force the Awen. It is the creative, transformative power of divine inspiration that sings in praise of itself. It is the eternal song that sings all things into existence, and all things call to the Awen inwardly. The lesson was brought home to me that even in the midst of the worst struggles we are going through, even they often point to our highest purpose, whatever challenge, no matter how hard or lonely or scary. That light, that fire of Brija, is the essence of our higher purpose whispering to us, of the sacred inspiration that burns inside us through all the seasons of our lives. It is the essence of love's power to hold us through whatever life brings. And Imalk is practically handing this to us on a plate. If our deepest well of inspiration is found in that power that heralds a birth, how do we access it? Well, I'll tell you how this druid does it. And as these profound things often are, it's really simple. Yesterday, in the snowy forest, I went to a sacred spring and knelt down and took the cold, fresh water in my hands. I poured it over my head. I touched my heart. I stayed quiet in the reflection of the waters moving through the forest to the sea. The transparency of the water reminded me of the need to just let the light move through me, to be as transparent to the transcendent as that water in my cupped hands. Upon which I lit a fire in the snow. As with the water, I sained it. That is, I blessed or honored the new fire. Instantly, I was linked to an unbroken legacy of people who have lit their fires on this very day for thousands of years. And I celebrated the fires of Brija, and the fires of Brija celebrated me. This is a two-way street. The Awen moves through all of creation, and that includes us. Urawan aganav, aduvan adagav. The Awen I sing, from the deep I bring it. So if it sings to you, let us mark this threshold in the time-honored way. Pour the lustrous water over your head. Hold it in your hands and know the promise of this quickening. Light the fire in the snow to companion the warming earth. Be alive to the childlike wonder of seeing the sparks fly. Play with the stars and planets above. Honor the beautiful Imalk traditions. Make your Bridget's sun cross. Bake the Imalk bannocks. Take milk offerings to the sacred stones in the forest. Gather with your spiritual family and celebrate this quiet fire festival in love and companionship. Or just light one simple candle in the night. And may winter darkness give way to light and be reborn in you.